The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Big shots. Wow, that got everybody back up on their feet here.
Have you ever seen lightning strike twice? Well, now you know about that!
On video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're out of here.
All right, welcome to UFC Unfiltered. I'm a little sore today, Matt, if you want the truth. I got head butted from the back in the face. And Mike was showing me something on Martin, my rolling partner. And Mike, everything he does is like a fucking, he's like a Terminator, way he moves. Everything is deliberate. And I kind of see you move the same way when I watch your videos. Like your foot doesn't just come over. It kind of, it's almost like a machine is putting it in place, the way you slap your foot down. It's all very, very, it just every move looks painful. So he was showing me something and he wound up kicking my thumb because I was just looking too closely, so I'm in a great deal of pain. And he wasn't even showing it on me.
Yeah, well, listen, I used to fight in a cage for a living, and so does Molly McCann. So when you talk to us about stubbing a toe in jiu-jitsu, I'm not going to tell you right now, you better man up.
No, but I'm telling you, like I relate now to the injuries fighters get. I just wanted you to know that I understand. I got my thumb kicked. It's fine. And there's a little bruise. Hold on, please. Look at that. Looks like I went a few rounds, a little bruise from a hit. Little bruise.
Very, very, very little.
Well, no, but a bruise, a major bruise.
But it is a bruise.
It is a bruise.
Jimmy, what I love about our first guest, Molly McCann.
Yeah, look at that. Hold on. I'm all hurt, Matt. Look at me. I'm getting bruised up.
Sure, that's not from Nikki. Is that from your wife?
No, that would be on my back.
Your backside. Jimmy, Molly McCann had a couple of tough goes in her last couple of
fights. On the ground,
she was shitting on her ground game. She went full tilt into the ground game, into jiu-jitsu. She earned her brown belt. I believe it's her brown belt. Yes. I'm going to have to look at the notes.
Yeah.
And then she also, she got her brown belt. And she jumped in a jiu-jitsu tournament and won the thing. Or was it a single match? I got to find out. But my point is she attacked her weak parts.
Yep. Her perceived weakness. Yeah.
Now it's no longer weak. I think we should get in here and let's delve into some jiu-jitsu.
Oh, is she in the waiting room?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know she was in the waiting room. Sorry. Okay. Let's bring her in.
Let's go.
Ah, there she is.
Everybody likes Molly.
Hi, Molly.
Molly. Look at Molly all skinny.
I'm not a meatball no more, lads.
You're not a meatball. You're not now.
I'm just more Fidello now.
Wait, no, we got a lot to ask you now. We know you opened up an Italian restaurant, so I got to hear about that. You went down and wait. But what I'm most impressed with, and I was just talking about this, and I talked about this when you won that match. You know, you had a couple of rough outings in your last couple of fights. People are shitting on your ground game. So what do? You go full tilt into the jiu-jitsu world. And next thing you know, your weakness is no longer a weakness. You jump into a, was it a tournament or was it a single match, jiu-jitsu match?
I done a single match on Pilatus and won, and then I done the ADCC British Open Pro and won. So the UFC would never kind of let me, you know, when we're riding high, no, don't get injured, don't worry about that, just focus on promotion and the rest of the stuff. But the UFC were nice, they let me out, they let me compete, and I can't tell you how scary it was, Matt, because the world was watching. The world was watching.
100%.
And what I chose to do was use jiu-jitsu, not do wrestling, not do MMA. I pulled guard. I got the armbar with the same move that I was finished by. I said I was going to do that, and I did. And I'd done the same. I actually won by a IOP lock in the ADCC British Open. So I'm well-based, Matt. I think, look, I've never turned a fight down. The only people I've lost to are black belts. And I've been able to hone a little bit more on my craft. And at this lighter weight, it's a lot easier.
Yeah.
And you said the whole world was watching too. What were your nerves like going into this? Were you knew everybody was watching and that there were some people rooting for you and some people rooting against you?
I'd say it was like the OGs, like my real friends, was rooting for me. I feel like the rest of the world was against me. But when I won that Pilatus fight, I felt more nervous than fighting at MSG against Aaron Blanchfield. And I think in the post-fight interview, I just kind of said, like, I'm just trying to be the best person I can be every day and show up and be consistent. And it's hard to take the knocks every day, but I'm here and I'm just trying to live my dream. And I'm at the mercy of the fans. I'm at the mercy of the trolls. But I hope that I can gain some respect by putting myself in them positions. And I believe I have, because this week, lads, on my personal Instagram page, there's not been one negative comment. I think everyone can see the work that I've put into my body for the weight cut. You're not going to believe it, but I've got 3 pounds to cut from 115.
Wow.
Yeah, look, I'm like in. I'm in.
And by the way, Molly, those negative comments, it's not even that you're doing anything wrong ever. People just do it because they want to be assholes. Like, no matter what you're doing, you're going to get negative comments, no matter how good it is. You know what I mean? It's never a reflection of you. It's usually a reflection of the person who's writing it.
Good.
Go on, sorry, lads. Go on.
No, I don't want to interrupt you. I was going to say, we almost lost John Anik because of the fucking comments.
No, I know.
Got upset.
What happens for me is, I think, I stopped looking for the applause. Like, from being a young kid who was never allowed in gyms, never allowed to compete, or had a real rough time growing up, the only time I heard applause was in a gym or in a sport, combat sport situation. So my affirmation to feel good was attached to that.
Gotcha.
And I've had a lot of PTSD sports therapy this camp. And it basically, we worked it out of, that's it. My attachment went from people, from abandonment issues to fighting. And if I lost my identity, I lost my worth. And then when you've got the internet being fucking, idiots, it amplified that. But what I've worked on is the applause means nothing. The hate means nothing. I always fight for other people, but now I'm fighting for myself. At the end of the day, me and Patrick sell the fights, make people interested. I couldn't give a fuck about that. Now I'm just going out there to do me.
Yeah.
You know what I think it is also is that you step onto the scene, you had that explosive spinning elbow stoppage. You got a great personality. And so it's like, it's not, when I say a hype train, I don't mean that in a bad way. It's like, yo, people are getting behind you. They like it. Yeah. So that also comes with jealousy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because people are like, well, I have more fights. I'm just as good a fighter. Why are they getting the attention? Why? Because they talk funny? I'm not saying that. I talk funny, Molly. But I'm trying to say is that you know, people get, it's jealousy. And next thing you know, they wait for you to stumble or have a hard time. And that's when they come out to feed. So I think the trolls will always be there. And personally, what you did, how you handled those losses is just phenomenal. It's just phenomenal. It's the best thing you could have done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, you in a weird way, you know, you're already, no matter what they say, you're already winning. Look at you. You're in the biggest promotion in the world, fighting in front of the world. So applause.
This is my 12th, Well, fight, Matt. Do you know how hard it is for people to get them little black gloves, just one? This is number fucking 12. And when I win on the weekends, this will be my 7th win in this promotion and under this banner. Like, I think people got jealous because it was like kind of overnight. Oh, here's Molly, here's Paddy. But I've been working in sport for 20 years. You know what I mean? So I deserve it.
And anyone that gets on you for losses doesn't really understand fighting. I mean, fighters lose fights. It's just part of it. Like, nobody is, you're going to have a loss here and there and a couple losses. And how many guys' records do you look back and 5 years ago they had 2 losses and then they haven't lost since? Like, it's fighters lose sometimes. It is what it is. You're fighting other good fighters. So, and like you said, they're both black belts. Stolyarenko and Blanchfield are both really, really top tier fighters. So there's nothing to be ashamed of in losing to really good fighters.
Now, I speak to Julia. I speak to all my opponents, actually, apart from Erin. And I was messaging Julia. I was like, how much weight have you got? She's like, just 8.5 kilo. I was like, what? I was like, Julia, I put 1 kilo for our fight. And she was just laughing. So honestly, the difference was nearly 20 pounds when I was in that division. And I think it's kind of a testament to myself. It was the same for like you, Matt, and the same for Frankie Edgar. You move around with the bigger people because we're much shorter in stature. And sometimes you're just too outsized and it makes it too hard. But dropping down, like, everyone goes, have you got taller? I was like, no, I'm just not fat anymore. Just not a meatball.
There we go.
Hey, when you fought Belbita the first time, was it, what weight was it? Was it at? And is this your first time dropping
25.
Down? It was 25.
Yeah, it was her debut, and when I beat her, she dropped to 115 because I think she must have felt the difference in previous promotions to the UFC and how lucky we are to have the PI and things. And she has had a good go at the 115 division. She's a solid, formidable opponent. She's hard to put away, but I think this camp has been more about performance, not actually about making weight. I think the only difference this camp for me has been the macronutrients. So instead of having a much higher fat content, we've dropped it and it's just completely like much higher carbs. I've had so much more energy. I feel so much more efficient. And lads, do you know when I fight and I throw them big shots and then you can see I'm a bit like, this time I'm not overthrowing because the frame is smaller and I'm faster. And I don't have to really say a lot. I thought, say less, do more, and let the performance speak for itself.
Now, let me ask you, now that you got skinny and you're not going to be a fatty, it's a weird time to buy to get an eatery. Like, you got a fucking a restaurant? What'd you get?
Yeah, so that Dave Portnoy, Barstool meal helped me out well. Ah. So me and one of my nutritionists, Joel, you can see him on the right there. We've always had a dream of open a food shop together. So we've started in a little concept kitchen. So we're in like a food hall, like a big food market. And later on this year, we'll be opening a big restaurant. But Matt, you know, when we went out for Italian, that I love the Italian. Scousers, people from Liverpool are like the same as Italians. Like, the culture's the same. You ride on each other, so you take the piss out of each other. You eat well. It's laughter. It's fun. You have loads of courses, and you'd be surprised that I design the menu. So I'll make it with Joel, and then we'll tell the chef, right, this is what we want. You go to town on it and see if you can make it better than us. And that was the Il Cattivo. So that was a deli meat and the meatball in one for the Paddy on his fight week.
What is that?
That looks really good.
Is that all vodka sauce?
It is, boss. It is. It's vodka sauce, meatballs, and 3 different meats in a garlic aioli at the bottom.
And where is this place, Molly?
This is in Liverpool. It's in a food market called the Baltic Market. But lads, it's fucking good gear.
You know what's nice about this? When Jimmy visits, not only could he be a little meatball in that place, I saw you have comedy night. So maybe Jimmy, if he plays his cards right.
Yeah. I don't need the pressure of bombing in Molly McCann's establishment. I don't need that pressure.
So do you know Do you know polpette is obviously the male for meatball? Polpette is the female for meatball. So that's why we called it polpette. But now that I'm even smaller, people are calling me polpettina, which means like little meatball. So that's what they call me now, polpettina.
I'm confused. You call a different name. There's a female and a male meatball?
In Italian, so polpette. In the Italian language would be polpette, would be a male meatball. Yeah. Like if a man was saying it, and if a woman said it, it would be polpetta.
Can I, Molly, is this the first time, like, in adult life that you've been this slim and down at this weight?
Since I was 15, boss.
How, because I went up, and I'm not a fighter, so when I went up, it was just because I was a fucking mess. And when you lose weight, the best thing you do is you go out and buy new clothes. And when you start buying clothes that you wouldn't have worn before, did you go out and buy yourself a few new things?
Well, like Hyperfly and stuff have just sent me loads of stuff because I've got now, I've got AP, Scramble, everyone, Progress, BJJ, everyone has sent me free training gear because I've made a promise to the fight team that I won't get heavier than 60 kilo. I won't get heavier than 130. I've been walking around, I'm literally 119 now. And I haven't cut carbs, lads. I've got 200 grams of carbs to eat today. The School of Science has worked, but I've booked ADCC for every month for the next 3 months to keep myself accountable to my weight, the competition, and to keep in the correct mind state. I think sometimes when you win, you overindulge. I think when you lose, you don't eat and you hit the alcohol. Or I do anyway. So I think I feel like I have to be accountable to myself every day to maintain this and to be the athlete that I should have always been.
Is food a tough one for you? Because food is a hard, I mean, people, it is very addictive, more than just staying alive. It's comfort. Is it a struggle for you?
Yeah, I'd say so, mate. I think I've got ADHD and you have compulsion. And yeah. You need like the endorphin release, and I try and make my food as opposed to spending, drinking or doing drugs. So I'm probably just going to have to go on more walks and be at nature and try not to eat as much. Who knows? I could be a fat bitch next week like Paddy. Who knows? I'm saying all this now.
No, but once you get on a roll, it feels like there's that weird period of like 2 weeks or whatever it is for you where like once I'm doing something healthy, it's much easier. I don't crave bad stuff as much, but it's that first couple of weeks where I'm in trouble if I give in once.
Yeah, I think we've got 7 lads fighting in March on Cage Warriors. And then my best friend, Leah McCourt, she's actually in that room next door. She's training. She's fighting on Bellator/PFL. So I won't actually get... I'll have like 4 days off after this fight with the travel, and then I'll be straight back in. So I haven't got time to fuck about now, lad. I'm 33, and I believe 3 big wins this year sets me up very well. So I'm in.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
You know what would be glorious? You get your title shot and you win by submission. That would be glorious. Can I just remind you really quick? And I don't want to bring it back to me. I don't want to do that. But I will.
I will.
Sure. I came on the scene. I got knocked out with a spinning back fist. I remember talking about comments. Sari's jiu-jitsu is great, but he has pillow hands. I remember pillow hands. I go, fucking pillow hands. Fast forward. I ended up having heavy hands. I got the title with my hands. Plus, I knocked out Frank Trigg. So listen.
Yeah.
You.
We've just been speaking about you before. So, my friend Cody Brundage, he's fighting Bo Nickel, and he's like the biggest underdog in UFC history. My coach Paul Rimmer was like, I'm pretty sure it was Matt Serra. And I was like, doesn't that give anyone hope and inspiration? Like, your fucking game, go and get it.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm amped now. Let's fucking go.
Let's fucking go, Matt.
When is he fighting Bo Nickel? When is that fight?
UFC 300.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Being a big underdog, you wonder, like, have you ever been the underdog like that? Like, have you ever been, or have you ever been favored so heavily? And I'm wondering, some fighters it doesn't affect, and some I think it might change the mindset a little bit.
Yeah, I think I was a heavy favorite for the last fight, actually. The ones I'm favorite for, I've never won, and then the ones that I'm an underdog for, I always win.
Are you good at fighting when somebody thinks you can't do it? Like you had two losses, then you came back and won this jiu-jitsu match. Like, is there a part of you that thrives with your back against the wall, or how you perceived against the wall?
You ask Matt, when you're from places like where we're from, we're not expected to do fuck all. We supersede the expectations, so it lights a fire in our belly, and just makes me think like, I'll show you. My coaches have done it to me this camp. Like a bit of reverse psychology, but in a positive way. And I'm fucking ready, lads. I'm really calm, you know. Like,
yeah.
When I know how much work that normally when I come on, I'll try and match Matt's enthusiasm, but I don't need to today. I'm just fucking ready.
Yeah. Well, Molly, you sound great. You look great. You look like you're ready to go. I mean, 4 pounds is not. Yeah, it's incredible, the transition.
Three.
Sorry. Good for you. Good for you.
Don't be putting pounds on me, lad. Don't be putting pounds on me.
No, I was thinking 115. Well, are you saying to get down to 116, right?
Yeah, I'm not doing 115. I always joke. I said I'll make 115 with a skinhead and weighing in naked on the scales. But I won't need to, no.
Well, we'll see you this Saturday. Have a great fight, Molly. Always good talking to you. And I'm happy that it's going so well for you. You look great, and I can't wait to see you fight.
All the best.
Thanks, guys. Go on, lad. See you after.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye, Molly.
Bye, Molly.
Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at discounttire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Yeah, she seems like she's in a great headspace. You know, like that's really, she's calm. Like, something about having a new body when you lose weight, even though fighters can kind of do it at will, you guys have great self-control, but it does give you a new confidence. It does make you feel a lot better about yourself.
Yeah, it's true, Jimmy. Do you like my story?
About
me breaking on the scene. I'm bringing up my story again about me becoming a champion.
That's a good story.
Thanks, Jimmy. Biggest underdog ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jimmy, yes, I just like that you're training. That's what I like.
Me too, Matt. I love it. Here's what I have a problem doing.
What,
Jimmy? Is if I'm doing something well on one side, like getting out, you know, reversals or whatever, and then, you know, into a Kimura, when I have to switch sides, a lot of times my brain takes a little while to do everything the opposite of the way I just did it. Like left side is harder than the right side, or the right side is whichever one I get good at first, the other one becomes a chore to make my mind coordinate.
Yeah, but you got to get them in. You know what you don't want is for a guy to attack you and put you a headlock on the left arm. And you go, no, wait, hold on. Put the other arm around.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So we train both sides. But Mike always says, here's what, if I'm really fucking one up, he'll go, get really comfortable with this one side, get that pattern down.
Yeah.
And then we'll go to that side and begin.
That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. For instance, today, I had 6 new people in my 7 a.m. class. So, you know, I had one of my blue belts, James. He had a little rib injury. I go, look, take them in there in the cage while I put everybody else to train. Cause I do like around a half an hour technique. And then another half an hour, I put these guys to train. You know, people want to roll. They want to get sweaty, you know,
yeah.
But they also want to learn jiu-jitsu. So
sure,
I can't let the guys that are brand new or pretty fresh jump right into the mix. So what I do is I put them through flow drills where, for instance, those 6 guys, after we did the technique, I put everybody else against the wall doing some King of the Hill, some
what's a King of the Hill? I don't know that.
Well, I have them count. There's a bunch of guys. Sometimes I'll do one guy stays in until somebody passes their guard. I'll put down guys and they stay in until somebody passes their guard. And then they're out. And then if that guy's down until somebody passes theirs. So it's pretty wild. That's old school. Otherwise, if there's a lot of different, all different colored belts, I want to give everybody a chance. I will have them all against the wall. I will count 1, 2, 3. They count it out down the line. So then ones come out. You're working your guard for 3 minutes, regardless of what happens. They pass. You submit them. You're staying in your guard for 3 minutes. The guy's coming off the wall or going in your guard. And then they get out, and the twos come in, work their guard. You know what I mean? So yeah, everybody gets a chance to have their time in there. And it's a nice way to warm up before we go from the knees or any other position. So while I'm doing that with my main guys, my new guys, I have in the cage, I have them doing, for instance, today, I was having them do an elbow escape, which is escape, you know, to guard. They're mounted, so they're getting out of bounds. They're escaping from being mounted into guard. And then they do an up and over, a hip heist. Now they're mounted. So now the other person does the same thing back to them. So it's a flow drill. So you get your hips moving, you're reversing. And that's a little prelude to the live training. You follow me?
Right.
They learn to breathe. They learn, you know what I mean? So it's really, there's a method to the madness at Sarah BJJ. You don't just throw them in there and be like, all right, good luck. Tap if it hurts. You don't want that shit.
Jamie is really good too, because with Jamie, it's Muay Thai and it's punching and it's, but he's really good at getting me to get into single legs and double legs from a punch. And he spends a lot of time on closing the distance and grabbing somebody if you need to, and what to do if something goes wrong, how to take them down, if a takedown doesn't work, how to get to the back. And you know, he's really, really good at, hey, if this doesn't work, go to this. If this doesn't work, go to that. Like, plan on, there might be failure, so you have to have something after that. Very helpful.
Oh, heck yeah, man. So excuse me, this weekend, besides the fights, the UFC fights, which I'll be at home to watch.
Yes.
Right in Westbury, I got my wife at 40 years old, and I tell her what kind
that's
of
right.
She's having an MMA fight. She's a blue belt. She's fighting a purple belt from Virginia. They're flying the girl in. And, you know, the girl's also like a professor, a teacher somewhere too. So it's pretty wild. The girl looks tough. And it's like this. Look, my wife wants to test herself. And I tell her, honey, I go, you never did any kind of activities, any sports as a kid. You got your 3-0 as an amateur kickboxer. And now at 40, you have an MMA fight. I go on your Facebook. Tell me how many people from high school are 40 years old, guys, girls, anybody. People, athletes. How many people are taking a fucking cage fight at 40?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, not many. So
yeah, none of them.
None of them. Yeah. So the fact that she's doing this is just so inspiring. I'm really proud of her.
And, it really is amazing. And winning, like, everybody wants to win, but the idea that you're actually getting in and doing it, and you're not going to go, it's not going to be something you want to do for the rest of your life as a profession. You're doing it again to get better at it, to be in better shape. I think it's incredibly ballsy. And I would be very scared to do it.
And you know, my wife, you know, like,
lady, she's very, very nice lady. Yeah.
Very nice.
Can't picture her kicking somebody in the teeth.
And I'll tell you, jiu-jitsu is pretty on point too, so it's feeling good. So listen, she wants to do it, and some people around 39, 40, they you know, around that age, they want to try different shit. They might want to fucking, you know, jump out of a plane. They might want to race a car. My wife wants to fight in a cage. So family business. My kids are doing it. They're all training. Wife's training. Things are good over at the Sarah BJJ. I'm getting all new mats. I'm talking to Fuji right now.
They're a little slippery. They just got them at Henzo's, but when new mats were a little slippery when you first get them. So I was trying to throw punches and I couldn't push off my foot. I was just slipping around like a little turtle.
I love when you talk like a martial artist.
Well, it's true. I was Johnny Damon. Yes. I was slipping.
I love football.
Well, he played baseball. Legendary guy too.
Sorry.
Legendary player.
Jimmy, I don't know who's in the Super Bowl. I just know that Taylor Swift's dating a guy from one of the teams. And people make such a big deal about it. And I don't give a shit.
Travis Kelce, yeah. He's a really good player. His brother plays for Philadelphia, and he plays for the Chiefs, who are in the Super Bowl.
I heard the football fans get annoyed that it's all about, like, Taylor Swift.
Yeah, but they shouldn't. I mean, the AFC Championship game was the highest watched in NFL history. The highest watched AFC Championship game in history was this past one between the Ravens and the Chiefs. So part of it is because she was there.
Because of the Swifties.
Part of it is part of it. Yeah, that is part of it. It's not all of it. You know, I mean, Patrick Mahomes and the team is great. She is only on the screen for like 20 seconds, but the idea that she's there and it's just, you're up there. It's a part of it.
Yeah, you know, it's me. I'm the problem, it's me.
There you go.
Time, everybody agrees.
Yeah, bring in Johnny, please. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you want me to do more?
No. I was hoping for, we only have Johnny for a few minutes, so I'd rather talk to Johnny and then you can close with singing.
But that's Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I know. I'm a big fan of Mean. Oh. And there's another one I really like, Shake It Off. No, I don't.
Want me to sing Shake It Off? All right, no.
Hey, Johnny.
Hi, Johnny.
Hey guys, how are you doing?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
You guys talking about Taylor Swift?
Oh, well.
Yes. Yeah. And the fact that like so many NFL fans are mad, but this championship game with the Chiefs and Ravens was literally the highest rated AFC championship game in the history of the NFL. And part of that is because people are just tuning in to see if she shows up. It's really crazy. I don't find it. It doesn't matter to me when you're playing. And again, you guys play a lot more games than football players do. Is there ever a distraction with stuff like that, with who's in the stands, or do players never pay attention to it, or does it ever get to you guys?
Oh, well, sometimes we pay attention to it, especially when you're playing very well. If you're not too worried about what the media has to say, like when we were thumping people in 2009, you know, Alex and Derek always has their star-powered girlfriends out there. So yep. Kate Hudson always brought out Goldie Hawn and Kirk
Michael Douglas.
Michael wait, Douglas.
No, you're right. Kurt Russell.
Yes. I was like, you guys threw me for a loop. But yeah, it's really cool to see people. And also in 2009, I mean, Jay-Z was out there all the time. He was promoting his new song, which is, I mean, the New York theme song to me now, he and Alicia Keys. So right. Yeah, it's cool seeing people out there. And, you know, at the end of the day, I don't think too many people are asking if, Travis and Taylor are actually happy. Hopefully they're happy, enjoying what they're doing. They're both very talented. And Kelsey had a heck of a game. And
me
being a part of the Kansas City Royals for 9 years, I'm definitely going for the Chiefs. And I'm never going to bet against Mahomes ever again. I did last year and I lost.
You, it's crazy too. I watch mostly just UFC now. I really don't watch any other sports. I've just kind of, I can only have the time for one, but I was a Yankee fan my whole life. And you were a part, was that the 2005? Was that the year that Boston was down 3-0 and came back?
That was 2004.
It was 2004. Four. Oh, okay. Did you guys, was that a World Series year or no? Did you lose
yes. Yeah, we came back, won 4 straight against the Yankees, and then we won 4 straight against St. Louis in the World Series. Yeah. And then the Yankees, I won with them in 2009, and they have not been back to the World Series since. So it's going on 15 years with that team and that massive payroll. They just haven't been able to get it done. But it's very hard to win a championship. I mean, everything looks so easy when it's all said and done. But, I mean, we had so many ups and downs, roller coaster the entire year. And look at the Chiefs. They weren't looking too good early. The offense sputtered and their defense has been a big improvement this year. So, but Brock Purdy, I mean, how amazing is this kid? He looks so calm all the time. And that kid can actually run. I think the commentators were saying, oh, not really gifted with his feet, but this kid was flying and he looked really good. So I'm really excited about this game. And as you mentioned, it's really tough to get involved with a lot of sports and a lot of games. I mean, in basketball, I believe 16 teams make the playoffs. Baseball, playoff time is always the best time to start following things. And it's really tough for me to watch a lot of baseball during the regular season.
Of course.
There's nothing else on. And you're absolutely right. It's tough to tune into everything.
Now, at UFC 292 in Boston, that was the first time you ever went to a live UFC event. Is that true?
That is correct. And what a great time to getting out there in front of the Red Sox fans that don't really despise me as much anymore, and having them get up and sing Sweet Caroline. So that was really amazing. I've always been a fan. My wife's actually been a bigger fan for a long time, and she's that's how she knows how to grapple and put me in a headlock and all that stuff. So she knows all the moves. So I watch out when I'm around her for sure.
Did you like it, the live experience or what? How'd you?
Yeah. I really love the live experience. I think the energy of the crowd was fantastic. I'm not a big fan of watching the girls fight. I had to take off around the back. I'm just not a fan of it.
Hey, it's Johnny, hard for you. Yeah, Johnny, some guys
want to hear something crazy about that. Speaking of that, this weekend, my wife, 40 years old, she's having an MMA fight. Crazy. Oh, wow. I'm cornering her.
So, yeah, nice. Good luck to her.
Thank you, Johnny. I get it. Yeah. It's the hurt business. So, you know, when someone in baseball, football, whatever, they get their ass kicked, they don't literally get their ass kicked usually. So in our sport, it does. So I get the concern, you know?
Yeah, it's hard. What did you think, though? Isn't there something amazing, too, about when you're standing there waiting for the main event, or when you're watching two people walk in, the energy of watching two people who are going in to like matches to hurt each other, like to really fight, and there's a lot on the line. I mean, there really is nothing like watching two people walk into a cage to fight.
Oh, it's absolutely amazing. And both fighters are going into this match thinking they're going to beat the shit out of the other guy, and it's absolutely amazing that it can turn with, you know, a quick move, a quick punch. And I mean, I just think these guys are absolute warriors, and they represent the game. They represent America and the toughness that you have to battle and work your ass off to get to where you want to be. So that's what I really love about watching these fights.
And when you, like, we just talked to a fighter named Molly McCann, and she's dropped two fights in a row, and she's fighting this Saturday. As a player, obviously you had slumps. I mean, every player has a slump. And then you remember Chuck Knobloch was going through that thing where he just kept throwing the ball into the stands. He's a great fielder. He's a really good player.
Yeah.
But it gets into his head, and then his fucking arm just lets the ball go at the wrong time. Have you been through anything like that? And how hard is it? And how long until you really start to doubt your ability when you're in a slump? And what do you do to get yourself out of it?
Well, it's really tough being in a slump, especially when your team's losing. If your team's winning and you're putting on some good at-bats, you're all good with it. But as you mature as a player, I understood what slumps are. There's a pitcher out there who's trying to make a living as well, and he's trying to get you out. But when a slump happens, fortunately for me, I had a lot of speed. I can show bunt, try to bring the infield in. But I also know that I had to keep competing. I could be 0-for-4 going into the ninth inning, and we're down by a run, and that one at bat can change the complexity of the baseball game. So in baseball, you have to continue to battle, and it's a very tough sport because it's a failure sport. If you fail 7 out of 10 times, you can go to the Hall of Fame. So
yeah,
it's a great game. I think a lot of kids are giving up on it because it is a failure sport, and a lot of kids don't know how to get up, react, and push through it. I mean, there's a lot of times that baseball has brought me down, especially when you lose in the playoffs and your season's over and everything that you work for the entire year is completely gone. And so every time that happened, I would go back to wherever city I was in, pack the car, and start heading back to Florida because it hurts, you know, all the dedication that you put into the sport. And when it doesn't go your way, it really stinks.
And okay, Matt, sorry.
Jimmy, I was just going to ask about his sports drink because this is something I think about in a weird way. Now, your sports drink, you got a sports drink called A-Game, drinkagame.com. There it is. Cool. Hey, cool design.
Yeah. Right?
What I want to know, and I've thought about this with other drinks too, with guys coming out with drinks, how involved are you in the taste of this thing? I mean, I haven't tasted it yet. I mean, do you like – do you send it back and go, hey, man, get geeks in the lab coats. Got to be juicier. Got to be tastier. Or is it just, you know, it's okay. I mean, tell me. I mean.
Oh, I would not be okay with a bad tasting drink. I know there's so many products out there that are absolutely horrible. And this is actually my childhood friend is the creator of the drink. And I am the founder of A Game Beverages. So I got together with my friend. We've known each other since the fourth grade. He made a lot of great drinks. And yes, we try them. We make sure it's right. But we also know that my taste buds aren't the same as everybody else's. But every one of our drink is really good. And a big reason why he created the drink back in 2012 in Central Florida, there were a bunch of kids very dehydrated. A couple died, mostly football players. And, you know, it could have been the coach telling them they had to run. It could have been a whole bunch of different reasons. But we wanted to make sure that we had something that was very clean, no artificial flavors, coloring, sea salt. Our hydration, natural honey is our sugar. So everything that's in that drink, your body needs. And I mean, you have a rough night, as I have many times in my life. I mean, this is the go-to nighttime drink, but also the morning drink that gets me ready to rock and roll to bring my A game every single day.
Well, you still look the same as you did. It really, I was thinking as Matt was talking to you, you literally look like you're 20 years younger. So whatever you're putting in this drink, it's certainly not hurting you. And electrolytes, that's the thing, like that whenever you go like for a colonoscopy or whatever, they're like, drink Gatorade for the electrolytes. So now you're saying like, hey, this has that too. So you don't have to drink that crap.
Yeah. Yeah. Drink A-game. 100%. We feel very strong about our message. You always have to bring your A-game for every single thing you do, whether you're an athlete, whether we're doing this interview, whether you're a parent, every single moment in your life, you should think about bringing your A-game. I mean, I know there's times people slip up and they don't bring it, and you hear like Coco Gauff at the Open last year. She said the first couple of games, she only had her B game, her C game, and she brought out her A game for the championship. And I mean, it's a universal word. We're going to hear a lot about it at the Super Bowl and obviously at UFC and the fights. If you bring your A game, you should not be disappointed at all, because you brought your best, and that's all you can ask for.
And if people want to try it, they can go to Drink A Game, just letter A, G-A-M-E, .com. If you want to see a listing of stores that have the drink, you can also order it online and I guess try the different flavors if you want. But congratulations, man. And I enjoyed watching you play for a lot of years. There was times where I hated you when you were just kicking the shit out of my team. But you were a great player. I'm happy to see that, you know, after baseball, now you have this great thing that you're doing. And, you know, it's really nice to see.
Yeah, thank you very much. And we also added Masvidal to the team. Bo Jackson's on the team. We have Tyler Adams, who's the captain of the U.S. soccer team. So we're making a lot of strides, and there's a bunch of good news coming out of the influencers we're going to piggyback on and make sure that this is a drink that everybody talks to and a phrase that everybody brings every single day.
DrinkAgame.com, the great Johnny Damon. Thanks a lot, Johnny. It was a pleasure talking to you. And I'm happy you enjoyed your first UFC event.
Absolutely. And I'll be out in Vegas, so I'm planning on being there as well.
Okay, buddy. Good talking to you.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Bye, Johnny.
Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at discounttire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Yeah, drink A game. That actually did look delicious. Like, we, you know, whenever we're helping somebody promote something, we want to speak nicely about it. But I was looking at that drink, and I was like, I wish they would have sent some. Like, I would love to be fucking guzzling that right now.
I don't want to be. I don't want you to.
What,
Jimmy?
What are you gonna say?
No. Hey, well, listen.
Were you gonna make fun of me?
I don't want you to get confused with the message of after a rough night with the A game. Like, if you have a rough night, what he meant, this was, let me just tell you this, because I think when he said if you have a rough night, that could mean different things for different people. So
sure.
I think he means, like, if you have a rough night, you might be a little dehydrated from drinking.
Yes.
Your A game.
I think that's what he means.
Thought that if you had a rough night, you could pour the A game in your asshole.
No, Matt, I mean, let's be very honest. I don't think that would help. And I mean, while I'm there, I would probably put the bottle in too. I mean, what am I, wasteful?
bring your A game.
Yeah, well, that is my A game. That is, you get the letter right.
Jimmy, I'm not a baseball player. I just take swings.
No, I understand.
I miss often.
But you are a switch hitter.
No, I'm not, Jimmy.
Yes, sir. Well, let's talk, Matt, before we go. We should talk about the fights this weekend. Nazardeen Imavov against Roman Dolidze. What a great fight. Imavov and Dolidze. Dolidze is 12-2. Imavov 12-4. Number 11 against number 8. Two really, really solid middleweights. And Moy Connell against Drew Dober is the co-main. We had Drew on. Another great fight. 13-15. Salikov against Randy Brown is the featured bout. I love Randy Brown, so I'm always rooting for him. Muslim Salikov is a very dangerous guy. And, of course, Rahu against Silva. This is just a great card. And Monica Khan against Deanna Babita is the main fight of the prelims. So that will get you right into the main card.
That means they like her. That means they want that.
It means that they have a lot of faith in her ability to hold an audience. Yes, it means that's always a fight that with a person that they have a lot of that they think is going to give a good fight.
She actually looks really good, man.
But Molly,
that weight cut does not. I thought maybe that she doesn't look. She looks solid, man.
Yeah,
she looks like she belongs at that weight. It doesn't look odd.
Yes, yeah. So, Dolidze Imavov, what do you think? Do you have a take on that, or do you not? Every fight is so hard to pick.
I think Roman Dolidze is just. Don't get me wrong. I like Nazardeen.
Yeah, coming off that loss to Vittori, but
yes, but you know, Vittori's Vittori. Yeah, I'm taking Roman in this fight, and I'm gonna say third round TKO. What's up?
Yeah, I'm looking at Dolidze right now.
Do a little poopy, you'll get off the pot. Do a little poopy, you'll squeeze it out.
He's beaten Dawkins, Hermanson, Phil Hawes. He knocked out. I mean, Hermanson, he stopped with punches too. Yeah, I don't think you're crazy to say that. You're going third round stoppage. I kind of think that, but because you're taking it, I'm going to take a fourth round stoppage. I say Dolidze stops him in the fourth round. I want to say second, but that seems a little disrespectful to Imavov's ability. So I'm going to say that. Now, Moy Connell against Drew Dober. I have to go with Drew on this. His striking is so good. And Moy Connell, again, is so dangerous on the ground, but he has been stopped. I'm going to take Drew Dober in the second round. I think he stops him in the second.
Now, I could see Drew Dober definitely taking someone's head off.
Yep.
But I'm going to go with just, you know, I like to make it spicy.
I know you do.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
You say one thing, I like to say the other sometimes.
100%, yes.
I'm going to say, actually, Drew Dober is pretty scary.
Drew Dober, I mean, come on. I mean, he had a really tough fight against
Drew Dober's second round knockout. Sorry.
Yeah, it's very difficult. Yeah, but it's very hard to pick against Drew Dober because when he looks really good, he looks really good. Obviously, yeah. Makhachev, you know, it's the only time I've seen Drew have like a really bad fight. And of course, you know, Matty Frivola, but Drew Dober has looked really good late, knocking out Bobby Green, McKinney, TKO over Terrence McKinney. I'm going to take Dober second round too.
Well, shoot, Jimmy.
All right, the language. Thank you to Johnny Damon and the very, very small Molly McCann looking great down at 115. And we'll talk over the weekend, Matt. I'm traveling this Saturday, but I will be in L.A. before the fight. So I'll be talking to you from a hotel next week. How sexy.
So what you got going on over there? Is it like hush?
Honestly, no, a bunch of promotion for my wife and I are doing that. Nikki and Jim NYC is our YouTube channel. So we're just doing promotion. trying to get people to check it out and see if they like it. And tonight I'll be at the Fat Black Pussycat at 7 p.m.
Jim, I don't like that. Jimmy.
What if people want to train on Long Island? What should they do?
Hey, yeah, you know, SarahBJJ.com. Matt Sarah BJJ Instagram, Cameo, another one. Just fucking, I forget to do them sometimes. Cameo, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm gonna get on top of that. And I'll do my cameos. And Jimmy, I will talk to you over the weekend. Wish my wife good luck. Wish Tommy good luck.
Yes, good luck to your wife. I hope that the lovely Miss Sarah does well. I'm sure regardless, she'll give a good showing, regardless of what happens.
Shit, yeah, Jimmy, I will talk to you by the weekend. Safe travels, my friend.
All right, buddy. See you soon.
And when are the fights, by the way? Saturday, what time?
I mean, I'm so dumb. Why didn't I promote that? Hold on.
Sorry, everybody.
No, don't be. It's my job, and I fucking forgot.
It's our job. That's
I know, but still. Hold on.
I got your back.
I'll tell you what time. It is this Saturday. Prelims are 4 o'clock. Main card, 7. I love these afternoon flights. So I might be in the air. I'll have to watch them on Fight Pass. Great night of fight. 7 p.m. main card. Then you can watch the fights, then go out and do what you're going to do.
Jimmy, good times, buddy.
See you soon, pal.
Safe travels. Bye, everybody.
Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at discounttire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.